me that I'm over the hill. That doesn't mean that I'm gonna sit still. I'm not as strong, but I'm just as bold. It's not how old you are, but how you are old. We talk about saving the best for the last. I'm looking ahead and not in the past. Don't count me out or cast me aside. Well, I'm telling you, I'm just hitting my stride. Hitting my stride.
Hitting my stride.
Hitting my stride.
Hitting my stride.
I may look old, but I'm still ready to ride. I'm just hitting my stride.
Hitting my stride.
Hitting my stride. I'm still alive and I'm just hitting my stride. Moses sent 12 in to spy out the land. Josh and Caleb said, let's take it, man. But the others cried, there's giants there. They're way too big and we're way too scared. 40 long years in the desert sand, Caleb arrived at the promised land. He said, I don't care if I'm 85, give me this mountain, I'm just hitting my stride. Hitting my stride.
Hitting my stride.
Hitting my stride.
Hitting my stride.
I may look old, but I'm still ready to ride. Hitting my stride. Yeah, I'm hitting my stride.
Hitting my stride.
I'm still alive and I'm just a hitting my stride. Oh, I'm a hitting my stride.
Hitting my stride.
Hitting my stride.
Hitting my stride.
I may look old, but I'm still ready to ride. I'm just a hitting my stride.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is September 21st, 2024, and we welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to go ahead and bring the men on the line. It looks like we've got a Tim from Nebraska on. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And we've got Richard on the line. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And we've got a Paul on the line. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And, Paul, why don't you kick us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to broadcast your word to the wherever it may be, Lord. And we pray that it'll have fertile roots and that take hold, Lord, and that you will talk to the remnant, Lord, for the majority of the world seems to have turned its back on you and that you are no longer in existence, but Lord, you will not be mocked. And we pray that we will be a witness to your no king but Jesus. And that is our motto, Lord, that you are the king of the world and there are no other. And that all the idolatry be taken out of our lives and forgive us our many sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, there's a lot of things that are going on in the world, and there's a lot of things to talk about this morning, but I'll just go ahead and open it up. And anything that anybody wants to start off with this morning?
Well, Jason, I'd like to thank you for playing that song. I haven't heard that in years, but I think that it's it puts out the right attitude, hitting my stride. You know, none of us are, I'll say, in our 30s anymore. Some are in the 40s. And thank the good Lord, we are getting older every year. Hopefully, a little more experienced, a little wiser when it comes to just kind of the way things are going on. But I think that's a good attitude for us to have. Is that just like Caleb? You know, Caleb trusted the Lord, Caleb of old, and he made it. He, you know, him and Joshua were the only two in that generation that made it into the Promised Land. And I would say I'm sure his descendants are still there when he went at 85 and and got rid of the giants that were in the land, and I bet his descendants are still there today, because that's how God's promises are. And so, you know, it's not that we got to be 20 years old doing this, or nope, if we were only 24 starting again doing it, nope, it's right now. God has prepared each and every one of us for this day and this time, and it is exciting times. There's things going on that I don't think any of us have ever seen before, but it's exciting times. So anyway, just a quick comment. Thanks. Good song this morning to start it out.
I have a little, just caught this a while back, and it's more on the line of really almost humorous to me. I mean, but the fact that the White House just had its first cabinet, you know, meeting here in 11 months, and the First Lady Jill Biden, I mean, that's what they call her, she sat down at the head of the table and ran the cabinet, and that's just like, that just strikes me as a, you know, there's so much there, it's just like a head shake type thing. So how in the world can, you know, if that was anybody else, they'd be out on their ear and things would go on. And what happened to the vice president? If the president's unable to complete his duties, isn't that the vice president's job? You know, I mean, she can't even do her job there. So anyways, just a, in case you hadn't noticed thing, kind of a comment, I thought that was, like I say, it's a face slap, head shake kind of chuckle.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's, yeah, I hear you. There's so many things that are in the news. I mean, where do you start? Was Tim Walz connected to the disappearance of manual for nuclear capable howitzer? Is the mayor of Springfield renting out property to Haitians in his city? First Amendment crisis, DHS warning that foreign hit teams are planning to assassinate Trump, maybe cover for their own operation. I mean, you know, it's exciting times. And we talked about a lot of these things that are happening on Sunday, this last Sunday, and, got a lot of comments on what we talked about. Want to tell people that, you know, this week, tomorrow, we're going to have a message. And basically, it's you know, digging back into the true Israel story on who true Israel is. And that's going to be followed up by a message, a live message that Zach will be here for. He's traveling out here to Colorado to bring a live message. So that won't be tomorrow, but it will be the following Sunday. And one of the things that we've been discussing and talking about is just how there is, how people are waking up to who Israel is, the true Israel, the true J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M of the Bible. And also, they're learning the Jewish issue on, you know, who Esau Edom is. And, you know, we continue to try to, you know, wake people up to that. And I really see so many of these things that are happening in the world are being caused by these Esau Edom, these Edomites. And, you know, you start digging, you start going down these rabbit trails one after another, and you really find out who the enemy is. And I think that so much of this information that's been put out and, you know, discovered and talked about for years and years, the stuff that, you know, Jack Moore put together, it's just about every one of his books when you get into it. He does a really good job of describing who the enemy was. Is, and you know, even more today than when a lot of this stuff was put together. Pastor Peters, I think so much of the stuff that he talked about, he did. That's one thing that he never backed down on. He constantly wanted people to know who the enemy was and who the enemy of the Christian people are, and did just a fantastic job of basically laying us a foundation for these of these truths that. expose the enemy for who they are. Now we're seeing these things in the news. People are talking about, Israel and Hamas and this and that. And you know, people are asking the questions and they're trying to figure stuff out. And I see that a lot because there's people that it's like, hey, I don't really want to be on Israel's side. I really don't want to be on Hamas's side. You know, where do I stand? Who do I stand with? You see these flags. I know I've seen a couple of them pop up and it's like a half American flag and it's a half Jewish flag. And on the bottom it says we stand with Israel, and there's a big push for that. And there's a big push that people are saying, hey, you know, I really don't agree with that either.
Well, yeah, that's what it takes to wake people up is just the obvious, you know. And first of all, you know, that Washington D.C. is a false god. That's what the biggest thing. They have no authority in the state. They aren't here by privilege. But people have looked to them for, and they've given thrown out all their money and stuff, and they, you know, bought people and stuff like that. But we got to quit looking to them for our remedies. You know, I get these farm magazines. Oh, they got to have more money for the farmer. Well, crap! You need the farmer to repent, and God will take care of him. That false god in Washington D.C. should just be exterminated, and the people can do it if they quit looking to them. And the people have the power if they will. But when they're all following a false flag like you talk like that, I mean, they're lost.
Yeah. Well, and they always give us, whenever the narrative, they first of all, they establish the narrative or hot spotlight this problem. And then they select the choices or the questions that allow you to solve the problem. And it's only their choices that you have. So, you know, it's the old situational ethics thing with grandma in the boat and there's not enough water and there's three young people in the boat, but there's enough water for three people in the lifeboat. Who are we going to get rid of? You know, we have, you know, one of the younger people or one of the older people. That's the only choices that you have. And it's situational ethics, and that's straight out of the pit of hell. They always only present their choices. And God has, there's always other choices that God gives us that are godly choices, but they have no interest in those. So it's, and that's just, I mean, really, it's, what was it they say? It came out of the garden on a crutch, you know, but it was just like that's been their modus operandi for so long. And, you know, we see that. They create and then they solve. Or they create a flashpoint, and we end up with what they wanted. It didn't really matter what choice you make. It was one they were happy with. So, but it's not the one God wanted us to make.
I agree. And good point, Tim. I appreciate that. I'll be right back. We'll go back to you, Tim.
Okay. I think it's interesting, just like, for example, on this, there's this new thing out right now with Hezbollah, and I don't know if you guys have heard about it, but in regards to the pager explosion incident, and basically, if you look at some of these phones, and some of these devices, I like that word, that we all have around us, they spy on us, they do all these other things, but they're also lethal. I mean, they have slow lethal methods that can create issues with your mind or damage to your physiology. But they also have, and I don't know if there was actually explosives in these or not. You know, that's the narrative that they've created. But they all have a battery in them that's pretty explosive under the right conditions. You know, I mean, there's a reason that you're not allowed to ship things like that in the mail and different things like that. And we've all seen the EV cars on fire and these sort of things. So is that an issue? Possibly, but the point is it's all just grist for the mill, so to speak. I mean, they just continually try to make people make a knee-jerk choice on what's going on. You know, I think, I mean, it's like, Did you consult God? Well, what does God want us to do? You know, He has an a way that he operates. And those are our choices that we should be seeking to make. Those are the ones that, let God handle it, or let God explain what, speak to us and tell us what he wants done. It's rarely what this group out there that's the undermined power team wants done. He has his own way to handle it, I think. Don't you?
I do. I'm back now. And I wondered about that too. Were these pagers, what was the deal with them? Did they, you think about how did they get supposedly get these explosives into these pagers and all over the place and, set them off, detonate them, this and that. Was it something that did they use the batteries as a charge, or was that what the explosive was? Was it, just a freak deal? Did they get a bad batch of batteries? I mean, I don't know. Did they get serviced? What happened? I don't know. What do you think really happened there?
Yeah, they're not putting it out either. That's secret Israeli IDF Mossad, something right out of a spy novel type of, they haven't come out and said, yeah, this is what we did. It's just kind of, they do what they do. You got Antichrist over there killing Antichrists, and they haven't. I bet you our military is doing a double take, just that, how they've had to really, jump the gun and increase regarding the fighting in Russia and Ukraine with the anti-drone, the way the drones have been hacked in. People are just they're just putting bombs on them and suiciding them into people, and so our military's had to really ramp up their anti-drone warfare response or whatever, and I bet that they're scrambling, trying to figure this out as well. This is, like you said, Tim, I mean, we've all seen the electric vehicles catch on fire. We see at the post office, you can't ship these little batteries. If you ship a phone, you got to take the battery out, all this kind of stuff. And so there's an awareness and an understanding that these things are, they have a potential. They have a potential to cause a problem. And that sure got exploited out there overseas. And, they're not coming up, and at least they haven't yet released anything that said, hey, this is exactly what it was. And they're just gearing up for more war. I mean, that's what they do. It's an absolute genocide. And like you said, Paul, it is causing people to wake up to see that, wait a minute, this is not this is just not right. Not at all. And it's causing people to wake up and see that and question what they've always heard and been taught as to who the people are. And it's a good thing. It's waking them up.
I seen an article this morning that said that Israel is becoming a party to the Ukraine war. Intelligence community informed. Information indicates Israel is setting up Iron Dome-type missile defenses in and around Kiev and Nikolaeva to fight off Russian missiles. It will be controlled exclusively by Israel. And
that's spooky.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Well, if you study your history, they came from that area originally anyway. I mean, if you look into a lot of that, historically speaking, I don't know why that should surprise us. So that kind of comes into that level of operation, that it's like, well, we've still got. And as usual, that is, if you think about it, that is one of the richest areas over there as far as money, influence, and really we've talked about it here. We talk about it all the time. Food is power. That is the breadbasket of that area over there. I mean, that's where all their food comes from and everything else. So why would you not want to control it? You know what I mean? It's a situation there where, and if you look in those, and I think Jack said that at one point, no matter where you look, in whatever aspect you look, you will find those people in power or behind the scenes. If there's any money or any power or any influence to be had, they insert themselves there very quickly. You know, that's where they want to be. So, you know, you have them in anything from regards banking, industry, food production. It's not that they can do any of that stuff. They have no interest in the doing. They just want the control of it, you know. So I think that that's a situation there where, you know, it's kind of a, you can see it as a prophecy that's coming for how they defend and protect. And they are predatory. They are, you know, they take the money. They take the power. They take, and in so doing, they always destroy it. It ultimately ends up no longer producing anything. They don't build, make, create, or proliferate anything except destruction.
Yeah, on the radios, it says, this article says, thousands of handheld radios explode in a second wave of Israel attacks on Lebanon. Another series of explosions occurred in Lebanon this week, the second time targeting handheld radios used by the Hezbollah. Security sources and officials say at least 14 people died and another 450 were wounded after the handheld radio started exploding suddenly all throughout the capital city of Beirut, as well as in southern Lebanon near the border with Israel. The first attack, I guess it was up to 12 people supposedly that were dead and injured another 2,800. In the second attack, it was the personal talking radios used by the militants that exploded without warning.
And I have a Newsline magazine clip here that says that the pagers and the radios so far have killed 37 people and wounded at least 3,000. That was according to Hassan Nasrallah. The group's leader. So that's at any rate, yes. I don't know how you guys feel about it. I think that the fact that they put explosive material in those devices during production and actually made sure that it went to Hezbollah members, that to me, that seems like it's a little bit too targeted. Maybe they know, if they know where every one of these members of these groups are, why are they a problem? You know, that's the other question I have. So, that would leave me with the conclusion that they either broadcasted it a lot wider than just those, which is kind of a spooky thing. What normal everyday people are carrying things.
Pushing the button, or is it at random, or this or that? I mean, and how many people have the same exact thing, in a cell phone that they're walking around with?
Exactly. That's what I'm wondering about is I tend to think that, you know, basically, wouldn't that be great if you could just create a situation where everybody you might want to take care of is just carrying a weapon in their pocket, you know, I mean, or in their chest pocket or something, and all we got to do is this, and they're gone. I mean, the whole thing's just, it doesn't cause me any fear, but it just leaves you going, So... I'm not surprised.
Well, and you think about that. What about looking at some of these pictures, what a pager or a handheld radio does. What about some of these electric cars that are driving around? I mean, you think about the bomb and the explosion that could cause.
Oh, absolutely. And we've seen some of those situations there. And supposedly from just charging accidents, maybe. Now, that calls that into question, maybe. But or was it intentional? But, burning down. I mean, how about e-bikes? I mean, here just a while back, we were having this big deal. New York State passed this law. It was illegal to park an e-bike inside an apartment complex because they were burning whole apartment complexes down.
Right.
And we already know that those people have no concern about destroying a whole airplane to get one person. I mean, the collateral damage means nothing to them. So it's like, I mean, we're talking about Antichrist forces here that life or justice or anything like that means nothing to them. So only power.
Well, I think they realize they're losing their power, and that's why they're getting so vicious, too, because, they can shut your truck off, your tractor, John Deere can diagnose the what's matter with the tractor right from their computer in the office, and they send them out and go to fix it. You know, I mean, we have no idea how advanced this stuff is. I mean, the first fact was over 110 or 20 years ago that they did in New York City. Now, what did we get, about 30 years ago or 40 years ago? But they're so far ahead of us. But see, they're parasites. They have to live off somebody else's wealth, and that's just how they operate. Did you see that thing? Well, you see it, Jason. You put on your thing where these people bought these stocks and Trump's and figuring that it was going to fall, and all this big money that Blackstone has got trillions of dollars in their reserves. I mean, they're drunk on the blood of the saints. They ain't happy with a good salary to make at the end of the week. These people are playing a game of taking the world dominion, and it doesn't matter if there's people on it or not, they want it.
Absolutely. It's not about money. It's about power over God's creation and destruction. And that's where a lot of people just don't, it's really difficult to understand that, you know, that they have that mindset. We just cannot, we wouldn't do that. I mean, even if you didn't like somebody, you wouldn't do that. You might leave them alone. You might not have anything to do with them. But to go out and actively go on and seek and destroy for everything that they have or everything that they stand for, it's just kind of foreign.
Well, in that book, thing they told us was a lie. You know, they talked about, they had a big meeting the night before they shot Kennedy, and it was the oil people. He was messing with their money. And these people are so, yeah, I mean, they're so beyond what you and I know is luxury. It's just unbelievable. And that, yet they want more, and they want more because, you know, Kennedy was going to shut down the pumping of the oil and get out of Vietnam and different stuff like that. Well, he had to go, and that's how vicious they are. They don't care, but they had a huge meeting the night before, and there's a lot of people were there that knew what was going to happen, including Lyndon Johnson. So they're drunk on the blood of the saints, what the Bible calls it. They're just flat-out drunk.
I agree. Well, and I think that that's the other thing that we see with destabilization that they seek to bring into all these countries. I mean, anyone, if it was just about money or even just you wanted to be sitting in control of something, but they don't. As soon as they get a hold of something, they just utterly disassemble, destroy, and reduce it to its most chaotic state and then move on. You know, that's the thing. Once it's there, and that's not a, you know, the old saying is in the medical world is a good parasite lives off the host, but really the host never knows it's there. Well, they're not good parasites. They're the bad kind. They just move into the host and totally destroy it, and then jump to the next one. You know, that's their operational. Type.
Yeah, they do the will of their father, the devil, who is a murderer from the beginning, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And, you know, that distinction is just being made more and more. It's being made more clearer to more and more people that, you know, you've got a group of people that that do care for one another, that love God, love their neighbor, and just want to, you know, have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And as long as you don't infringe on mine, I'm certainly not going to infringe on yours. But then, like you mentioned, Tim, you've got some that just they're never content, never satisfied. It's just always more, more, more. And they've you know, they've pushed that influence onto us, onto God's people. This nation used to be a producing nation, and now it's a consumer nation. It used to be a lending nation, the people, and now it's a borrower. And all that is just more and more and more, you know. Bigger house, newer car. You know, the iPhone 16 is out now, or maybe the 19. You can get it for free if you just do this. And it just, you know, there's never any contentment. There's never any satisfaction, you know. And it's those influences of the East that the Bible talks about. You know, there's great joy and happiness in contentment. Like Paul wrote, I, you know, he said, I've learned to you know, what it's to do well with plenty, and I've learned to do without. And that is just lost today. And it's not the attitude we're to have. It's not the outlook we're to have. Not at all.
But this country, in its beginning, was run by God-fearing preachers. You know, they preached liberty and stuff like that. The pastors of the early America were actually the people that started the Revolutionary War, because they had to put the Spirit of God in the people. And now it's run by godless attorneys. It flipped completely. But, you know, even at John Rich and stuff like that, he said, these people aren't telling me. He said, that's criminal, these preachers. But, the problem is that you think you like to shoot every preacher in the world, but God gave them the preacher they wanted, is what it amounted to. It's the people that have to say, no, that's it, enough. You know, I know a man, he was offered $900 an acre for 40 years to put solar panels on his farm. He's got 1,000 acres he farms. Well, the reason he didn't is because when they run out, man, it's going to take a lot of pickups to, you know, scrap all that stuff. Well, I talked to another guy up a little ways away from me. He owns land on both sides of a substation. And he said, they offered me a lot more than that to take my farm and put the solar panels. He turned it down. But this is what they're doing, and it's all government money. And all of a sudden, the government pulls out an area set. His wife, she worked for a pain clinic. They were getting $1,200 a shot to give to people like that. Then they cut it back to $600, and now it's back to $100, and they went broke. But it was all built on government money and that greed, you know, with money, money, money. And that's the whole feminist society that we live in. They think money fixes everything. But I said lack of money fixes a lot more.
Yeah. One of the questions I have, kind of jumping back to the radio thing again, is according to the Israelis, they killed most of the, it says an Israeli official said that the entire senior command of Hezbollah's Radwan force was eliminated in the strike. Does it ever end? I mean, you know, supposedly, you know, if you cut the head off a snake, or, you know, there's a lot of that, but it doesn't make any difference. So is it, you know, it's just a production. I mean, it's produced for consumption by the masses, and it fires us up. And, you know, that's not right. Like you said, you have to make a choice. You know, go ahead.
And Will said that its short burst of high frequency broadcast is broadcasted, which overloads the batteries, causing the batteries to explode. And you know, if they can do that with the radio, they can do that with a lot of other things too.
Absolutely.
Well, you said, we got a phone. I got a cell phone in my hand. You know what I mean? They are so far ahead of us. If you drive around, they know right where you are. They got all this technology. You know, they think they got us, but they don't. You know, God sits in the heavens and laughs.
Fear is power. The Antichrist wants us to fear the fact they could do the same thing to us. I think that that's what they want us. I mean, they do want us to fear. They want us to, you know, and fear is power. And, you know, you're going to have fear in your life one way or another. You're either going to fear God or you're going to fear man.
Right. Exactly. What a time to jump back to Psalms 91, you know. 1,000 may fall here and 10,000 over there, but it will not come unto me. It will not come nigh to my tent. And, you know, maybe God knew that this is what was coming. Oh, yeah, they'll have it where, you know, the very things, whether it's the car you drive, the pager you use, the phone you use, whatever, you know, the enemy means that they have their plans. And like was said, God sits and laughs, you know, to where because they're operating by his rules. And, you know, if we have the faith that, listen, it may happen over here 1,000 times, and it may happen over there 10,000 times, but it ain't happening here. It's not coming here because, you know, we are washed by the blood. And it's a faith-building time. It sure is. Crazy things going on. You know, I know when I saw that this week, it's just, and a couple of people I've talked to, it's like, what, how, who, you know, don't know. don't understand it, but I can understand. I don't want any part of it. I can pray to my God and have His protection from it. And there's that fear that, you know, I'd rather fear the Lord and not the enemy. That's for sure.
Everything they got is there, temporary. Talks about God, talking eternal. So, you know, there's just really no doubt in what you should go with, because, you know, God's eternal. Everything they give you is temporal, and it gets you through today. You know, if you're hungry and stuff like that, and I see why people might do that, but I'm just telling you, it's better to die first than it is to sell out to those people.
That's right. Got a text from Brother Lynn. He said, "We don't need batteries to talk to God." I like that.
Well, and I think that I seen something. I seen a little quote the other day that I thought was kind of apt, but it said, "You know, remember when people just thought that if people had better access to knowledge and information, that, you know, the world would be a better place, you know, like back in the 50s and the 60s, and today we know that's not so, you know, because and we counter that with Proverbs 1:7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So if we don't cede our ideals and our seeking of wisdom and knowledge, why, in the fear of the Lord and in God's precepts and laws and the way that He does things, then, you know, that's the foolishness of the world. I mean, it's all around us. So there has to be that yardstick there. You know, you can use it to measure things, you can use it to beat things, whatever. But it's God's yardstick. It's got to be active.
One of the scriptures, you know, the Bible says, with much knowledge comes much grief too. You know, for myself, when I got a grip on the Bible and the truth of that, then a lot of grief came, because I stopped seeing my fellow man wasn't even on the right track, and that caused more grief. But to have knowledge without wisdom is wasted. And, you know, a lot of people, got these college degrees, I think they got knowledge. Well, they ain't got nothing.
Very true. No implementation points at all. Yeah, that's a fact.
One of the scriptures that I was thinking about this week was, I was reading in Proverbs, and it really just jumped out at me, but it was Proverbs 6:6, and it says, "Go to the ant, you lazy one, observe its ways and be wise, which having no chief officer or ruler, prepares its food in the summer and gathers its provisions in the harvest." And we'll go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Yes, it's Richard.
This is Jason.
Oh, this is Warren calling.
Hey, Warren.
I was listening to your coffee with your Wranglers this morning.
Yep.
And, you know, the Bible says to fear not. And I'm not afraid of carrying my phone, because if my phone blows up, they can only destroy my body and not my soul. We're supposed to fear the one that can destroy the body and the soul. And I think the way they probably pulled that off is we have weather alerts and amber alerts on our phones. And so I want to pray for, you know, America, that God watch over us with all our electronic devices. I mean, I got a wireless phone. I'm calling on it, a landline now, so it's got battery in or whatever. Already did it. So I don't want to put fear in everybody, but I just thank God that they can only destroy my body and not my soul. And
amen.
I don't know that out there.
That's a good thought. I appreciate you sharing that with us this morning, Warren.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
And it's that simple, folks. The phone number to call in this morning is 970-224-4203. That's 970-224-4203. Warren made a good point there. Appreciate you sharing that with us, Warren. But going back to the scripture, it was, you know, Proverbs 6:6. "Go to the ant, you lazy one, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief officer or ruler, prepares its food in the summer and gathers its provision in the harvest." And, you know, that was basically, I mean, it's talking about being a prepper, being prepared. There's a time to gather. There's a time to use. You know, this year I've got a couple horses that taken care of over here, not too far down the road. And I'm looking at these horses, and I'm seeing their, you know, winter hair coming in, you know, prematurely, normally. And just the, you know, the sense that I get, I think we could have a really good, good winter this year. We've had several years of very mild winters, especially for Colorado where we're at. And I think that it could be one of those, we could be in for a doozy of a winter. And you never know when that switch is going to flip, and all of a sudden you're going to get a snowstorm and the snow is coming, and you know, just, you know, being prepared for things. And it's been on my heart and on my mind, and been active in it. Being prepared. I was talking with my wife this week about, you know, going over lists of stuff that we have to be prepared for, knowing full well that, you know, and we have faith in our Heavenly Father that He's going to provide everything that we need. But just like the scripture says, there's a time to be gathering. There's things, there's preparations that need to be made, especially when, you know, God puts something on your heart. And I know that there's a lot of people that prepare in different ways. There's people that are doing different things. There's people that are prepping in different ways. There's people that are in the medical field. I know that have been putting away their medical supplies and getting that stuff because that's what they know and that's what they know how to use. And they see that, you know, in the future they could be somebody that could be benefiting or a benefit to others around them. I talked to somebody this week, and they were working on getting their water filtration system put in place. And these are all things that, you know, I really think that are good things that people need to be doing. And I'm encouraged by people that are taking action and putting stuff in order and getting stuff done. And that's, you know, that's encouraging. You know, just like, you know, putting up firewood. I've been spending quite a bit of time putting up firewood, splitting firewood, stacking it. Me and, you know, the boys, we had seen some videos, and I'd read about it in one of these Foxfire books and walked and looked at how they were doing these round firewood stacks. And we were trying one of those, and we thought we were doing it right. And the boys were trying to finish it off last night, and they came in, and their hearts were broke because, well, they had a catastrophe and it fell over. And it was one of those things. And I went out and looked at it, and they tried. And the thing is that they were trying, and I was encouraged by it and looked at it and, you know, talked to them and said, you know, I said, well, it's something that, you're just going to have to try again. And, you know, but let's look at it. Let's figure out what went wrong and why it went wrong and how do you fix it. And I mean, those things are, you know, it's just timeless, and it's so important. And they had what I noticed was it was so much fun for those boys and the neighbor boys. As soon as they heard that log splitter fire up in the evening, they were all over there just as fast as they could. It was a game to them. It was fun to them. It was work, but they enjoyed it, and it was really good stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's amazing how that works, and that carries on into adulthood. I mean, yeah, I still like to saw firewood, split firewood. I mean, to me, it is work, but it's fun. So, you know, isn't that? And God gives us that impetus that we can do good and be not weary in doing good. You know, that's not just some ethereal thing. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that we can do that way. Isn't that a blessing?
It is.
It's better to have too much firewood than not enough. Much better. much better. And the old saying, you know, you split your own firewood, it heats you twice. And there's a lot of truth to that. And like you said, Jason, a lot of lessons there that are not hard lessons. They're good. They're good, and they're what we should be teaching. And if you're able to do that
beats more than twice.
That's right. Now's the time to be doing that. I'd much rather have too much firewood and come about March or April, have neighbors calling me asking for firewood, as opposed to calling neighbors asking. You know, that's the position we're to be in. And God provides that. He does.
The Bible says that's the lender and not the borrower. Works in more than one way.
Yes, it does.
They had this big crash up here, it looks like, in Canada. And I was reading through that some of that information this morning. They're driving these trucks up on Highway 401, and they got these foreigners that have just been invading Canada like crazy. And, you know, in this article, and it's one of the things that I've noticed around here in a lot of different places, done quite a bit of travel in the last couple months. And, but they were talking about these, you know, these truck drivers driving around with both feet up on the dash, and just, you know, cruising along. And that used to be something that you'd see in a movie that was from like a third world country. And, you know, coming here today, it's like, you know, I've noticed that driving around town, downtown Fort Collins, I've seen it several times where people are just driving around and they'll have their seat all the way back and, you know, their legs up on the mirror, propped up on there, or at least one of them. And, you know, these truck drivers out on the interstate, you know, you're going 80 miles an hour down the road with a big truck. And you'll see these foreigners with these truck drivers that have both feet up on their dash, just cruising along, have the cruise control on. And apparently this big wreck that just happened up in Canada, that was one that, you know, that the driver was reportedly seen driving around with both feet on the dash.
Well, that's not
true. Well,
go ahead, Paul.
I know a guy gets deliveries of brought to his house all the time, and some of the people driving in vehicles, they're so fat and out of shape, they can't even get out of the cab, and they certainly can't get up in the back of the truck. I mean, it's just quite, this has been going on for a while, just with locals, and now you got these other guys coming in here. But, you know, it's perilous times, and we're in them. It's a good time to stay home and close your doors, actually.
Well, and I just seen one here, and I might not have all the details right yesterday because I just seen it on a brief clip. But they had one semi truck that was stolen with a trailer on it, and they were going down the interstate there, and he was weaving in and out of traffic and trying to escape with the semi. The cops were chasing him, and they ended up some other semis finally blocked him in, and he ended up, you know, wrecked over in the ditch. But you know, I don't know. I suspicion that was probably an illegal alien or something like that. I mean, I don't know what they thought they needed to steal the truck for, but it's interesting that the kind of things that go on, I mean, that's, to me, to my mind, that's kind of like trying to steal a train or something. Where are you going to go with it? But, you know, it's like, but these things, but there were people injured and people property damaged and everything else. I mean, that's not the way things are done here. We try to take care of each other, but yeah, think about your. I think always think about things like that with the family being on the road, or you know, I have daughters and wives and sons that drive up and down that road. It's like, no, that's not. I don't care whether the state gets their chunk of money out of whatever illegality goes. I want my people safe. You know, and that's what I'm interested in.
I agree. And yeah, I don't know what's going on with the weather out there in your neck of the woods, Tim. I have heard that you guys have been pretty dry recently.
It's been a little drier, and it's kind of unseasonably warm during the days. I mean, we've been up almost to 100 degrees through the week for a high, you know, in the mid to high 90s, which is a little bit warmer than normal. And the rain has kind of, I mean, we had a really wet summer and spring, so we're not really hurt for moisture yet, but at least here locally. But there is, the weather is a little different than normal. Now they're saying tomorrow's supposed to be a high of 53, so we're going to go from like 96. I mean, it was 96 degrees yesterday. Supposed to be 53 tomorrow. So
did they get all the corn put up in your neck of the woods?
The what, Sam?
Did they get all the corn put up?
Not yet. They're just getting ready to pick now. So, but they do have a pretty good harvest coming. I mean, so far everybody around here looks really good. The Milo's getting ready to come out, and it looks fantastic. Most of the guys are pretty excited because they haven't had to irrigate heavily this year. So that's going to put some point in their pocket because, you know, they didn't have to pay for expensive fuel and or electric to run the pivots. And it's kind of funny because a lot of these prices and a lot of this tightening of the belt due to these operating expenses have made these guys cut back on their water use, which some of them were overextending, you know, and it creates its own problems. I mean, so many of our problems are created by ourselves. I mean, I think about that a lot of times. It's like, well, try to stimulate the ground to produce more than it was ever designed to produce and more than God designed for the environment in that area. And I think that it's that way all the way across the board. I mean, farming is, of course, to me, is the most common viewpoint of that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's just like, why are medical costs so expensive? Well, you've got insurance out there that can do that. Why is housing so expensive? Because people are, you know, because the property taxes are ridiculously high, and because other areas are driving people from higher areas in to drive up your prices and things like that. It's just a case of that more and more and more thing instead of being satisfied with what you have, you know, with what God's given you and doing it in the best way that you can and to regenerate what it's capable of doing. You know, everybody's not capable of all land. All people aren't capable of some kind of super high output, but they're capable of being productive. They're capable of surviving. They're capable of thriving in the midst of that. But, our world has been taught this continual growth thing. You know, well, if you get 100 bushels an acre this year, next year you're going to shoot for 200. And the next year after that, we want 250. And it's the same way with everything we live in, and that's not godly. You know, that's greed. And God denounces that. We're not supposed to be that way.
Amen. Well, we are just about out of time. Well, closing thoughts, gentlemen?
Yeah, I'll read Isaiah 45, verse 7. I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. See, this, what is coming down is actually the judgment from the Lord. And he uses the Midianites and all the evil people to do this. And we are the apple of his eye. We are Israel. We're going to pay the price for rejecting him as a nation, but he has not forgotten us, and that makes all the difference in the world when you realize that. You know, you can see from the crossing of the Red Sea, the Jordan River, to the Caucasus Mountains, Europe, and into America, that you understand that God has a plan for us, and that's very important. And like the man called in, they can do that to us, but they can't take eternity from us.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks, men, for being here this morning. And thank you, Remnant, for tuning in. Lord willing, we'll be back next week with another broadcast.
But the ancient powers that ruled the earth grew lustfully jealous of her wealth and sent the British armies to make war with the Sons of Liberty, who placed their faith in God and by his grace fought and won the victory and proclaimed themselves, we the people of the United States of America shall be faithful and establish rights as Americans. We shall not bow down to tyranny. We the people of the United States of America, our God reigns and proclaims liberty. America. of conspiracy unfolds in our nation's history. As the ancient banking powers that rule this earth tries to steal our sovereignty. And now this new world order marches in to make war within our land. And once again, Americans, it's time to rise up and take a stand and declare ourselves we the people of the United States of America shall be faithful and restore our rights as Americans.